There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome to College Football Live.
College Football Live, Trevor Maddich, Greg McElroy, I'm Jason Fitz. Confetti might still be falling in New Orleans. Everybody might still be hungover. They're still celebrating a championship. But boys, it is already getting weird there. It looks like a mass exodus. Everybody's leaving. There is drama all over New Orleans. We'll break it down as LSU tries to figure out what happens next on College Football Live. The list of players, and I mean star players, that are leaving this program to head to the next level is incredible. You obviously have Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Over 1,800 yards, he's gone. You can add to that Justin Jefferson, he's gone. Grant Delpit, he's gone. So many of these, not to mention coaches and Joe Brady. So when you think about the number of players and epic players that meant so much to a championship team, it means LSU is finally maybe in Alabama mode where they win a championship and then have to figure out how to quickly reload. So the question is, how are they going to do it and what it's all mean? So as we break it down, gentlemen, and you look at these losses, who's the most significant, Greg McElroy, to you in the losses of players that are no longer going to be with LSU going into next year?
Well, I thought about Jacob Phillips. I thought about Grant Delpit, but I looked no further than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, not just because of what he provided in the run game, but because of what he provided in the pass game. I mean, this guy was kind of a jack of all trades, and if you put him in the slot receiver, he was going to be a matchup nightmare for just about any defense to contend with. He had power to run between the tackles, and he was an excellent contributor in the passing game. So when I look at Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they have good running backs. I'm not suggesting they don't. They have John Emery, who was one of the top running backs in America coming out of high school just last year. But is he going to have the same level of versatility when you look at what Clyde Edwards-Helaire was able to provide in the passing game? So, Trevor, I think his departure is a significant one, but the right decision knowing how much he meant to this team last year.
Yeah, I agree with that. And yeah, other than Burrow, I'd also say the offensive line. I mean, they'll have to replace pretty much the entire offensive line, and it's not just a matter of talent stepping up. It's a matter of chemistry. Those guys usually had five guys to block with no help from running backs or tight ends. That means that when blitzes came through, when defenses lined up in weird formations to try to fool them in their protection and what they would do, they had to be able to say one word to each other to check a protection just enough to know how they were going to pick something up. And when they played as many snaps together as these five guys did, then you become, it's like a choreography. It's like a ballet, Greg, and right. It's like you're the nutcracker. Well, guess who's going to get cracked if the new group of people that step up don't have good chemistry out of the box? The quarterback.
Yeah, and honestly, Miles Brennan, not the biggest, most physically imposing guy. So he's a guy whose jersey's going to need to stay clean at quarterback next year. And let's be honest, guys, the likelihood of Miles Brennan having the same impact from within the pocket as Joe Burrow did. I mean, Joe Burrow made that offensive line look elite at times. They won the Joe Moore Award. I'm very understanding of all the different accolades that offensive line brought back to Baton Rouge, but Joe Burrow made him look better because of how quickly he got out of his hand and how he was able to negotiate the pocket while still maintaining a throwing posture. So I think that's going to be a real challenge to replace those pieces up front. Knowing they have an inexperienced quarterback, that's probably going to be a little bit more statuesque than Joe Burrow was throughout the 19th season.
One of the names you guys didn't throw in there is Grant Delpit. Now, I want to get your thoughts on this because Delpit is somebody that came in incredibly high this season. Everybody thought he was going to be a top draft pick, best at his position. The season started rough. He got healthy. He was great. So, Trevor, what's your assessment on Grant Delpit at this point?
I think Grant Delpit should be a top 10 pick. He is an absolute eraser in the secondary, and he will intercept balls that quarterbacks don't think he could get near. I've seen him be in the middle of the field. The quarterback will throw the ball all the way to the sideline, and Delpit will run all the way over there and pick it off, almost like he's baiting him into thinking that Delpit can't run 20, 25 yards to get under that ball before the receiver can get it. Now, this year he struggled a bit with tackling, but he was also injured a lot this year, so he played hurt. I think that this guy is not just a guy who plays his assignment, Greg. He's a guy who makes plays as an individual who's just better than anybody you have.
He's amazing, and I love his versatility that you referenced. But you said it yourself, Trev. He wasn't even at 100% this year. He wasn't even available for the Arkansas game. And look, Arkansas, they didn't need him, obviously. But I think he was a guy that was way less than 100% throughout the course of the first 10, 12 games of this season. And as he got healthy, that defense certainly solidified. But if they kind of went throughout the 19th season without him having a huge impact on that defense, then I think they can do it again in 2020. So it is not a premier position safety. So I think his shoes are massive, but they can be filled with the way they've recruited the secondary over the years.
Greg, well, you just said they can do it again in 2020. So let me move this forward to 2020. When you look at this LSU team, even with seven players at this point that have declared to go to the NFL draft, when you look at what they look like in 2020, Greg, what do they look like to you?
They're going to be really good. It's just, are they going to catch lightning in a bottle the same way they did last year? If you look too, and we could talk about the departures and the talent that's leaving the program, I'm not worried about the talent. I'm worried about the mindset, because when you look at this program, they were on a mission this year, and that mission critical came from Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow gave every single player on that roster so much faith and hope and optimism. And honestly, for lack of a better word, a swagger. This team really believed that they were going to get it done every single time they stepped out on the field, because there's no way number 9 was going to let us get beat. That's probably the most difficult thing to replace on a championship roster, is the mentality. Will they have the same sharpness? Will they have the same edge that they had throughout the season, knowing they just ascended to the mountaintop? So I think they're still going to be elite. But there's a big difference between being elite and championship-level elite, and I'm not sure they're going to quite get to that level heading into next year.
Right, and it's playmakers that make that difference, Greg. I mean, the record at LSU for first-round draft choices is 4, back in the Jamarcus Russell year when he was taken number 1 overall. This year, they might have 5 guys drafted in the first round and others down below. And so Ed Orgeron is a master at getting the guys to buy in, to believe, to give everything they've got in preparation starting in January. In anticipation of the season coming up, he will have everybody that is there playing to the best of their individual capability. But now, especially at quarterback, they'll need guys to step up and be the playmakers. Because, Greg, you said it so well, that when a team knows that their quarterback will bring them back no matter what, when that belief is real in their hearts, then nothing can hold them back. When I played at BYU, I played with Steve Young. I played with Jim McMahon. I played with guys that we would look at. We look at the scoreboard, and we would know, no problem, that guy is going to bring us back. Steve Young is not going to let us lose. So let's go win the game. That's a different mindset from, oh, no, I'd better do my job.
So, Trevor, let me dial back to that, what you're talking about right now. Where can that mindset come from, and where can we expect it to come from when there's not only a change at quarterback for them, but also everybody, if you watched a minute of college football, you heard Joe Brady's name. He's not there anymore. So how can we reasonably expect that swagger to be there?
Jason, that's a good question. And the answer is, speeches won't do it. Being talked about won't do it. Practice won't do it. You have to see those guys, and especially that quarterback, do it under pressure in a game. And I'll just give you one play. There was a touchdown pass that Joe Burrow threw against Clemson where he got hit in the ribs by a free runner, and he couldn't breathe when he walked, but it was a touchdown, right? He did that all year. Those are the kinds of plays you have to make in the game to earn it.
Yeah, I think it's got to come from the head coach at first. And then eventually, you would think that Ed Orgeron would have a player-led team. But those players that are going to lead this team into the 2020 season, it might take months to figure out. So at least here in the very beginning of what should be an exciting campaign for the Tigers, it's going to come from Ed Orgeron. It always comes from the top. And then eventually, once roles are established, you'd hope that the players would take over around September.
Well, obviously, all eyes are going to be on what it looks like next year. We're only a few days removed from crowning a new champion, but we're going to look into the crystal ball, tell you who our favorites are for next year. We'll do that next on College Football Live. Hanging out with you, getting you ready. We do have a coaching update. Justin Fuente has decided not to leave Blacksburg. He is going to stay with Virginia Tech. So all eyes, remember, Matt Rhule is no longer the coach of Baylor after leaving to take the Clemson or the Carolina Panthers job in the NFL. So at this point, Justin Fuente is going to stay put, and now we have to figure out what's next for Baylor. So that is the great question that we'll try to figure out. In the meantime, 3 of the top 11 teams in the nation highlight our full day of Saturday college hoops on ESPN and the ESPN app. Number 10, Kentucky takes on Arkansas in the Fayetteville at 4 p.m. Eastern. Then number 3, Duke hosts number 11, Louisville at Cameron Indoor in a matchup with the top teams in the ACC. The Blue Devils have won 3 straight against Cardinals and 5 of the 7 over the last five seasons. It's dangerous to be good in college basketball this year, but at least it's fun to watch. We'll have all that action for you right here on ESPN and the ESPN app. Coming up next, from looking back, we'll look forward, or looking forward, we'll look back at some of our favorite images from the college football world over the course of the last season. We'll do it next on College Football Live. On Monday, January 20th, tune in to ESPN News or ESPN Radio from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern for First Take, Your Take, hosted by the dashingly good-looking Jason Fitz. We'll play back the best debates and commentary of that day's First Take show with Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman. Plus, we're going to take that an opportunity to interact with fans, get callers, get tweeters. We're going to get real social, real interactive, bring the energy, and take all of the conversation to a new level. Check it out Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern, debuting this Monday, again, with the dashingly good-looking Jason Fitz is the host. In the meantime, the college football season has come to a close. It's a good opportunity to take a look back at some of the best images from the season.
No regrets, no fear.
You've earned the right to play in big games. You've earned that right.
No mercy, not one playoff.
Two-point attempt to take the lead.
Does it get in?
Clemson will survive.
Complete to Jefferson, and that might be the knockout punch.
He pulled it. Unbelievable. South Carolina wins.
Jonathan Taylor. Badgers putting a beatdown on Michigan.
We've got a banner day for Michigan.
On the Jam B.
Is that called? OBJ, eat your heart out.
Leaping, catching. Good touchdown today for Smith.
It's good from 56.
Game ball and scholarship.
Yeah! Oh, it's a trick play. Ray Fulmer launches down the middle.
Open score, touchdown.
Takes off running straight ahead to the Owls. Welcome to Columbus, Justin Fields.
A-State head coach Blake Anderson lost his wife, Wendy, last month.
She's with me all the time. I've never seen anybody fight as hard as she fought the last 2 years. I've got to live up to her legacy.
The holder on that extra point was Casey O'Brien, a four-time cancer survivor.
Kalinske letting the world know he is around, throwing dives.
Tua hit hard, and he is not giving up.
Thompson will run the ball. He is in again.
The ball was illegally touched.
K-State's going to win.
UCLA scores for the sixth time in a row.
Virginia Tech has won it in six overtimes.
TD for CD. Oh, mama.
Throws, and it is intercepted.
Oklahoma.
A very, very dark night in this proud program's history.
Away from him by Chase Young.
Sack number four.
It's caught. It is a touchdown.
And penalty markers that ball. Kick is up. And it is no good.
Breaks through. Stays up. Break. Touchdown. Tiger.
Intercepted down the sideline, Tigers. Touchdown, Auburn!
Kick is on the way.
He missed it! Hits the upright!
Burrow spins away, throwing on the run. How about Joe Burrow?
The 2019 winner of the Heisman Trophy is Joe Burrow.
Rogers.
A special teams disaster for Wisconsin.
Bringing that smoke with a straight arm still going. Touchdown.
If you want to make it rain, better stand and deliver.
Oh, deep again on target again. Jefferson again. Touchdown again.
LSU's on their way to the national championship game.
Lawrence in a foot race. Touchdown, Tigers.
Fires to the end zone. It's intercepted. And the Tigers are not going to be dethroned tonight.
Tigers versus the Tigers for the title.
Burrow going to launch downfield. Touchdown, LSU.
Higgins is off and running. Touchdown.
Wow.
Burrow looking for the kill shot.
Jump ball. Touchdown.
Burrow said, time to tip me for that ring.
LSU sits on the throne of college football.
Maybe the last lasting image of the season will be Odell Beckham Jr. on the field after LSU's championship, passing out the chickens to some of the players. Greg McElroy, your thoughts?
Not a big deal. The only thing that I had issues with, the fact that it felt like Odell was taking the attention from the team in what was a miraculous and magical season and placing it squarely on his own shoulders. I didn't have a huge issue with the fact that he was handing out $100 bills because he handed it to Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson's pro. He turned pro and declared early. Gave it to Joe Burrow. He's pro as well. There was one guy that it was on camera having received money, and he's coming back, and it was $100. He can pay it back tomorrow. For the NCAA to get involved feels like wasted resources. And I feel like we should spend our attention focusing elsewhere.
Huge deal. Because he focused the attention on himself. Greg, what were we talking about right before this story broke?
We were talking about LSU and how great this season was.
Yeah, maybe the greatest season of all time. Maybe the greatest season from a quarterback of all time. It was LSU accolades. And now we're talking about the NCAA. We're talking about Odell Beckham. Why in the world, if he wanted to give them money, did he do it in a way that brought the attention to himself and changed the narrative? To me, that makes it a big deal, whether it's legal or not.
Yeah, I'm with Trevor on this one, guys. I'm going to have to say it. As much as we love Odell Beckham Jr.'s antics at times, the fact that he posed in front of the cameras, took that moment and said, glory be to me, he made sure that he made everybody aware what he was doing. If he really wanted to just hand out cash, he could have done that in an envelope behind closed doors. Nobody be any the wiser. Instead, he made it about him. That's my thoughts. I think Trevor's right on this one. And I get the final say since I'm in this seat. So that's the glory of it. Thanks for hanging out with us on College Football Live.